action, folks. Murray throws. Touchdown, Arizona. DeAndre Hopkins. Quarterback draw. Murray, can he get there? Touchdown,
Curtis. Hello there. Welcome to episode 154 of the British Bird Gang Breakdown. And yes, we have yet another defeat to talk about on this episode because as if the season isn't depressing enough, you know. Let's relive it for the medium of a podcast as we do each and every week. So as always, I'm Tom. I'm joined by Callum to... I don't know, I suppose, wallow in each other's misery, because what more can we do?
Yeah, back onto our regular schedule of misery and wallowing in it this week. But yeah, it's officially another misery Monday for the Cardinals as the team falls to, gosh, what are we now, 4-8?
4-8, yeah. I mean, who would have seen that coming?
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
One of the very few positives I have to look out for is that we're still beating out the Rosen season. And we will beat out the Rosen season regardless, which is good. But it definitely feels that miserable again.
And I suppose one positive is the fact that we don't have a game this weekend coming, so...
Yeah, the Cardinals will not lose next week.
Although maybe the referees will overturn it at some point, so they will have to play. Who knows?
Yeah, they just like put them out against the Monstars or something like that, you know, just for another kind of ritual public humiliation.
Yeah, like, you know, it's not humiliating enough to be a Cardinals fan at the moment. You know, let's just add more misery to it. Whatever.
Yeah, it's fully into brown paper bag territory right now, but we're back again, as I said, Misery Monday. We're going to break down the loss to the LA Chargers. And I guess, you know, maybe talk a bit about how the season's gone so far. Like, well, that's our usual bi-week activity, but this weekend, gotta say, I'm not really feeling it.
I mean, we usually save that for the week, like the episode following the bi-week, because it gives us like time to actually prepare, because obviously done zero preparation for this episode, as always. But we may do some for next episode, because we'll actually have the time to.
Yeah, and we'll have some stats and things, I guess, that we need to go through, or some mid-season figures and see how our predictions are doing, because I'm not feeling too hot about my predictions. I can't remember what I put down, but I don't think I would have been predicting to be 4-8 at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone would, but, you know, hey-ho, here we are.
Yeah, I guess in, you know, sort of not really a news segment, because we don't really have any particular news to cover this week, but at least our intro was correct again for the first time in a few weeks. We've got Hollywood Brown in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have him back on the field, and also obviously DeAndre Hopkins was there, Kyler Murray was there, but I suppose we will have to talk about them during the game, because before we do talk about the game, I just want to see if we can get any news, but sadly, no news is breaking as we're recording. We have to wait till afterwards.
Yeah, the only news, I guess, would have been the how Kyler Murray was describing, you know, the sort of scheme on Sunday, and how that's a little microcosm for how the season's gone so far.
Yeah, but I think we'll touch on that during the game, all that down, because, you know, we do have to fill this episode somehow without a game preview for next week.
And especially because, considering that I didn't actually bother watching Hard Knocks this week, because to be honest, I really didn't want to relive much of that Mexico game.
Did someone say Hard Knocks? Actually, yeah, that's boring now.
They should actually just replace the, you know, the football opening theme with that, because it's so much better.
I don't know. I mean, there are some really good football themes, like CBS Sports. They have a really good one for college football. Love listening to that.
Fox's one with the big robots is pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, they really know how to hype up the games, don't they? Even though, like, the preceding action may be completely shit, but, you know, at least the music's good.
Yeah, absolutely. I love getting the big fanfare, and then it's like, oh, I don't know, Browns versus the Giants or something like that.
I thought we were going to say the Jaguars then, because, you know, Giants have actually been okay this year.
Yeah.
Texans and someone, yeah.
Yeah, Texans, that's a good one.
Texans versus the Cardinals, you know, who wants to watch that?
Yeah, exactly. Some team that's just rubbish, you know.
I suppose we should talk about some Hard Knocks because, you know, even though it was, I would say it was actually a really boring episode.
Yeah, so I'm guessing obviously they covered the Mexico game without any of the actual drama that happened in the off field.
Yeah, I mean, there was literally no mention of Eno Benjamin whatsoever. And I mean, he did touch on the Kugler incident, but obviously didn't say what happened. He just said he'd gone.
Yeah.
You know, he would have to prepare on the fly, basically.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of understandable, I guess, with the legal proceedings, but not including the Eno stuff is a bit weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, apparently there was going to be some, but somehow it was cut, mysteriously cut from the editing floor and probably never to be seen again.
Until
someone finds, like, the masters in the dumpster, like, in 20 years' time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether they have masters these days, I don't know. Probably not.
I mean, it has to be somewhere, right? It's going to be on a hard drive somewhere, so it'll be in like on a laptop that somebody throws out accidentally or leaves on the subway or something.
Yeah, now we can find out what happened to Eno Benjamin and probably literally like two people who care.
Yeah, exactly. And one of them is Eno Benjamin.
Nah, he knows the story, I'm sure. Well, I mean, obviously he knows the story. Well, yeah, not really a great episode, and, you know, I mean, obviously I watched it and didn't pirate it. Didn't watch it either because, you know, you still can't watch it legally over here.
That bigger boy told you about it. So what?
I just happened to read it about it. Yeah.
When you say it was boring, what's the what sort of coverage was it? I guess
I don't know. It was just, nothing really grabbed me from the episode. It was just like there was lots of Mexico, obviously, but you know, like you say, who wants to relive that? It's like if they came over to London, yeah, which never happened. Thankfully, there was no Hard Knocks camera set.
No, I know. Well, again, because it never happened, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Why would you film something that never happened? That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like in a week when you lose horribly, it's always going to be difficult to watch. And also, you know, the thing with Hard Knocks preseason is that although there's a lot of guys you don't really care about, in that, at least there's a story of like, are they going to get cut? Are they not going to get cut? And that's like, you know, immediate kind of dramatic tension. Whereas this stuff is, I guess they're kind of like, well, what's our storyline every week, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's a team you actually care about, like watching.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, it should balance it out for that.
But not necessarily always the case. And obviously, if you'd go speak to Eno Benjamin, he still talk about someone being cut, don't he? But, you know.
Yeah.
I digress. I mean, hopefully episode 4 is a lot better, even though, you know, once again, it will feature a Cardinals loss, which, I mean, will be 3 episodes out of the 4.
Yeah, it will be. But
the Hard Knocks curse.
Yeah, the Hard Knocks curse, for sure. Not that we weren't dreadful before that anyway, but yeah, I guess this week's episode is going to feature quite a lot of talk of this being a must-win game, which was the narrative going into it.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously 4-8 the Cardinals are now after the 25-24 loss. But I don't know, like where do the Cardinals go from here? It's just realistically, like, playoffs are completely out of the contention now, you know. You'd have to win out and like probably hope for other teams to win or lose. And
yeah,
that's not going to happen.
No, I think playoffs are off the thing. Our only divisional game left is against the Rams as well. So it's not like, you know, winning a divisional game can be 2-1. And yeah, you know, even then, as you said, we would probably have to win out and hope that the Seahawks or the 49ers just crash for the rest of the season, which neither of them look like they're doing. So playoffs are out. Cardinals are currently sitting with a number 8 overall pick, I think.
I think it is, yeah, before obviously the Monday Night Football game, which may or may not change the position. I don't know. Probably not. I mean, I think it's against two teams who actually win games, so would really bother us, would it?
No, I don't think it does, but yeah, number 8 overall pick. And, you know, the questions start circling about, like, well, what do you do now? Is this the time to start, you know, throwing away this season and looking at building for next year? Is it time to use to try out different schemes, different systems? And as we were kind of hinting at last week, it's the start of win or leave for Cliff Kingsbury, I think.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, in the aftermath of this game, and obviously pretty much during the game as well, there was lots of get Cliff out, you know, fire Cliff, fire Kyme, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, the more the Cardinals lose, the more that's just going to ramp up, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, like, you know, that's always obviously been circling round for years now, right? Like, ever since Cliff Kingsbury arrived, people were not happy with him. I think he did a really good job, at least in the first couple of years, like turning that franchise round from a, you know, what was it, like 3-13 season, bringing in a new quarterback, changing the system up, doing everything like that. You know, had a really good season last season. And then, you know, this is just a car crash. It's like, what's happened? You know, there's so much talent on the roster, or let's just say, like, you know, so many talented individuals in the team. And yet they're incapable of winning games. Even this game, you know, 25-24 to the Chargers, the Cardinals found a way to lose that game. It's not a case of, you know, them being, you know, completely outmatched or anything. It was a very winnable game.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should actually talk about the game first before we talk about the consequences of the game.
Yeah, why not? Let's talk about the game itself, because it started okay.
I mean, it started brilliantly, especially on the defensive side of the ball, because their first two drives of the game ended with third down sacks, both one from JJ Watt, the other from Cam Thomas.
Yeah. Also, you know, it's yet another time that the strategy of deferring to the second half for the kickoff has come out well for them as well. Because, yeah, they you know, were pretty much immediately able to stop the Chargers on two drives. And yeah, as you said, JJ Watt, big sack there as well.
6.5 for the season now, leading the team, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, it was a really good defensive showing all around, you know, not just in this first one, but kind of throughout the game. It was only at the very last couple of drives, which we'll get onto, that it started to falter a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they had a few lapses here and there, obviously, with the coverage, but that's to be expected when you know, once again, they were down Byron Murphy, and then at points during the game, they lost both Marco Wilson and Antonio Hamilton. So, got no idea who was actually playing corner. Is it Trayvon Mullen? And I'm sure they put Simmons back as like a slot corner.
Yeah, Simmons dropped back a few times as well. But yeah, very, very odd coverage with kind of beaten up secondary there. But yeah, you know, great defensive play. And then, you know, the offense being able to turn that round and put 7 on the board to start off the scoring.
Well, I mean, before they did score, they did have the unfortunate incident where Cliff Kingsbury forced James Conner to fumble the ball.
Yes, Cliff Kingsbury ran onto the field and made it happen, right?
Damn it, Cliff.
No, it was a nasty fumble. And I think, you know, it was a Chargers player that, like, ripped Connor's arm away, right, wasn't it? It wasn't necessarily just a sort of self-made fumble.
Yeah, it wasn't Cliff Kingsbury doing it. It was just a joke. But, I mean, like, obviously people will hold that against Connor, but, you know, considering the game that he actually had, you know, I'm sure we could just give him a gimme or a mulligan, or whatever you want to call it.
I think at the end of the day, like, this is something, I know it happened early in the game, but with the amount of carries that Connor had in the game, I think ultimately he was, you know, one fumble for that is, like, acceptable, right? Because he had 25 carries for 120 yards that game, which is, that's a lot of work.
I mean, it was his first 100-yard game as a Cardinal, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, and it was a 120-yard game too.
Yeah, and also it won him the British Birdland Breakdown Player of the Game Award.
I don't see why not at that point. It was the James Conner show, and everyone else was along for the ride, really, for a lot of the offense, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we had, like we mentioned before, we had both Kyler Murray. Well, we had Kyler Murray back from his hamstring injury, and he looked, you know, like the Kyler Murray of old.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, running around quite a bit.
Anyway.
Yeah. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins back again. And also, Hollywood Brown was activated off of IR. And he started alongside Hopkins.
Yeah, so we were finally able to see Hopkins and Hollywood on the same stage. And they managed to combine for 10 receptions.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously the first score of the game for the Cardinals came through one of the two when DeAndre Hopkins caught, you know, obviously a great throw by Kyler. Hopkins catches it, spins, and then did he run for like 30-odd yards into the end zone?
I don't know if it was a 30-yard run, but it was like, it was a big extension of a play. And, you know, it was definitely the kind of athleticism that you've come to expect from him, you know, just turning something that a lesser wide receiver would be, you know, for a lesser wide receiver, the play would be dead at the point of catching, and he managed to extend it by, what, like 15 yards or something?
Yeah, and he got the touchdown from it, so definitely can't complain about that.
But it was a great way to open the scoring as well, to come in 7-0, sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Cardinals, you know, on offense, they started out really well. Like, they were averaging at one point nearly 9 yards a play just on first down alone.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that was the run game as well. Like, and obviously the Chargers were like particularly bad at that, at defending the run. But you know, they were keeping the ball moving nicely, which is really good to see.
I'm sure we mentioned last week, didn't we, about, you know, the threat of Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa?
We did, yeah.
But the fact was, Joey Bosa's out injured. Shows how much preparation we put in, doesn't it?
Well, to be fair, it's like I'm not particularly following the Chargers. You know, they're not one of the, despite some preseason rumblings about them, they're not one of the top teams this season, right?
Yeah, I mean, I did have them down as my Super Bowl winners, so, you know. I don't think that's happening. But well, it shows about my predictions, doesn't it?
You never know. I mean, they're sitting at like over 500 now. You know, they've been keeping their heads above the water there. And, you know, they're second in the AFC West. So you never know. Maybe a wild card comes their way or something. I don't think they're catching the Chiefs, but...
Yeah, to be honest, he's catching the Chiefs, nobody. Really.
But all it takes is a hot streak, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, like, the defense continued to play well going into the second quarter. We had Kyler Murray doing his usual escapology, you know, where he like looks completely dead,
yep,
in the backfield, breaks a tackle, and then obviously he just throws out of bounds for like an incomplete pass, but you know, it saved
like,
yardage, didn't it?
Yeah, it's that or run about 30 yards around on the field only to pick up like a yard on the actual down.
I mean, if it was sack there, it would have obviously put us out to field goal range.
Yeah,
there,
yeah,
but
exactly.
We were able to keep it to a 43-yard field goal from Matt Prater to make it 10-0.
And in very ominous foreboding, everyone at that point starting to talk about how he's not missed one all season.
Yeah, I mean, the curse of Kevin Harlan almost came to fruition.
When, yeah.
I mean, like, even that first kick looked a bit,
I know,
close,
it did.
Too close for comfort.
It did. I just, like, see, whenever a commentary team starts saying that, I just get prepared for it. It's just going to happen, you know?
And obviously we held the Chargers to just 16 net yards in the first quarter, which is, you know, great going. Sadly, that didn't continue, but at least we had the first quarter.
I got to say, like, yeah, the way it was looking in that first quarter, that was like a very kind of positive spin for the team. You know, it was like, that's what we needed to be seeing. And the unfortunate thing is that it's proof that this team can do that. I mean, I know the Chargers aren't like the best squad in the game at the moment, but neither are we, you know, but it shows that like the opportunity is there to play like that.
Yeah. And obviously it doesn't help as well when you have the officials making some
some
dodgy calls, maybe. I mean, I can obviously understand, you know, why it was the turnover was turned over as such, but you know, it just hurts, doesn't it, when it's like you see the team make a huge play, really.
Yeah, and the worst part is that I think whenever you get a turnover called off, it's like, it's very deflating for a defense, you know, because you kind of go from this thing where you're like, wow, we got a turnover, like, how good is that, to, oh, we got to get back on the field. You know, the opposite's true for the offense that turns it over as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was a number 21 who made the play, Trayvon Mullen, and it was the first time in years we'd seen someone wearing that number making a play in Arizona.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like, I think if you've got a backup, a young guy coming in making a play like that, that can be huge for them. But yeah, unfortunately it wasn't to be.
Yeah, and then obviously they took advantage of the non-turnover and added their first touchdown of the game, making it 10-7.
Yep. Which is, you know, it was kind of the beginning of it, really, wasn't it? It was like that was the first time, I think, that we saw in the night that the defense started to falter a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what happened. Like, obviously, maybe the Chargers changed things a little bit and we didn't adjust, like, to counter that.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, this whole moment has the same feeling as, you know, when sometimes you see everything flip at halftime. It almost had that feeling, and I thought we were going to be able to bring it back when we were able to, you know, flip it a little bit then as well. But yeah, unfortunately, they were able to get, you know, start to get some momentum from this point onwards.
Yeah, and then to make matters worse, we just seemed to add to that momentum with that. I mean, what did you think of that decision to obviously go for it on 4th and 1?
Yeah, I mean, I have always been a fan of going for it on 4th and 1. I think it's generally a good thing to do with a team that converts it really well. But I think you've also got to like read the room a little bit. And, you know, sometimes you got to take the safe play. And I think, you know, in this case, we're sort of getting fairly deep into the second quarter. Giving it to them and with really, really good field position, we're unlikely to get it back maybe at that point. You know, I think you punt that away and you just like allow the clock to run down a little bit, especially when you had the lead by that point.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes more sense to like punt the ball away and give them like, obviously, like you say, the first half was sort of getting to its end.
Yeah.
But like you punt the ball away, that gives it. Then obviously you have like a whole field to defend, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
You turn the ball over there, 4th and 1, and it's like, you know, it just didn't make any sense. Like, considering like how James Conner was running with the ball, like, why not just run it with James Conner there?
Well, I think, yeah, that's the hard part is like, you know, it's the obvious thing to do, yes, but also they've not been able to stop it when it's been obvious either, right? So just run it up the middle and trust them to get a yard.
Instead, they threw it up to DeAndre Hopkins and Derwin James came down with it. Although, like he was saying on the commentary, it would have been better for him to just bat the ball down.
Yeah, it would have been. But I guess your instincts don't stop sometimes, you know?
Or he just wants personal glory, doesn't he? Not yeah, about the team, is he?
There's that too. There is that too. You don't get personal glory, or you don't get a stat line for batting down the pass. Well, you do, but it's not as prestigious a stat line.
Exactly. And then they took that short field, make it, and scored another touchdown to make it 14-10, which, you know, typical, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I know. It's just squandering a good thing at that point, right? Like it's, and this is what I mean by the change in momentum from here, right? Because all of a sudden we've gone from having a 10, you know, 17, no,
10 nothing lead, yeah.
And 10 nothing lead. And then, yeah, just giving away points and giving them away in quick succession as well, which is something else that the team seems to be doing at the moment is like when it rains, it pours. You know, it's not just that we give up one touchdown. It seems to be two or three back-to-back.
I mean, fortunately, the Cardinals did have enough time left on the clock in the first half to add to their own scoreline.
Yeah, which was a little bit of Murray magic, really, wasn't it? Kind of marching down the field and walking off with a lead going into the half. And I thought when I saw that lead going into the half, I thought, okay, that's it. It's going to settle back down again. They're going to go into the locker rooms with a lead. They're going to prove that they can do it. But no, apparently not.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that drive was pretty much all Kyler Murray. You know, it started off with him finding Andrea Bocelli for the... I mean, obviously it's not Andrea Bocelli, he's a singer. But, you know, it was another time where a commentator tries to shoehorn a reference in to a singer. You know, we had last week, well, a couple of weeks ago, we had the whole Gwen Stefani thing and the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
And then last night we had Kevin Harlan calling Andrea Bocelli, calling him Andrea Bocelli.
Just, you know, really, really trying very hard with it.
I mean, he only did it once, so I suppose we can let him off. And, you know, he's got a good voice, so I'll allow it.
Fair enough. But yeah, I will say that that drive was really a very good Kyler Murray one, because he had, what, like 7 rushes for 56 yards across the game. And I wouldn't be surprised if like half of them came during that one drive.
Yeah, I mean, he picked up the first down with 6 yards, then he ran for another 11, and then he obviously took it into the end zone for the score himself, you know. And it was another one of those where he starts celebrating like 15 yards away from the end zone.
I know. Every time he does that, I'm just like, oh man, please don't drop it. Please don't like do something stupid here. But yeah, he got it in the end, and he got it in with a short enough clock that we were able to just call it a half, basically.
And he obviously had the vintage Kyler Murray leap into the end zone.
Yeah.
Needs to have a name that does for something.
Yeah, the problem is that there's no like, there's no jumping word that begins with K.
Yeah. I mean, we'll find something, won't we? I'm sure we will. In the bye week, you know, we've got plenty of time to like mull it over complete bollocks like that.
Yeah. The chats in the dressing room didn't really appear to go any particularly better either, because despite the fact that, you know, the Cardinals obviously had their score and they were coming out again with the football to start the second half, I was looking at it, I was like, this is the perfect opportunity. You go down, you score again, and all of a sudden we've got our lead back. But no, it wasn't to be.
I mean, he did have that opportunity to score again, like on back-to-back possessions, but not to be.
Yeah, indeed, the curse of the commentary came true.
Yeah, I mean, before that, we did have another nice run from Kyler Murray, you know, showing once again, like, no ill effect from his hamstring injury. And then James Conner, I think he picked up 20-odd yards on it. But then, once again, Billy Price had to mess up. It's just like his weekly occurrence, isn't it?
Yeah, it was such a shame, because it was a drive that was moving well and then just completely faltered. It's almost like from that one point that was the switch that flicked, and this quarter where we're going to get nothing out of it.
Yeah, Matt Prater missed from 49, and you know, we could have gone up 10-14 at that point, but not to be. And it just so happened the Chargers were able to march down the field again themselves to tie the game up at 17-17. Although I suppose we do need to credit the defense for, like,
yeah, it was good, when we got to good stop to keep them to just a field goal there.
Yeah, just like the bend don't break defense, isn't it, as always?
Yeah. It looked a lot like they were on their way to it. But good stop to keep them to a field goal. Good, like, that's worth, you know, holding on to as a bit of a celebration there. But that brings the game up to being tied again. So it's just like every kind of hard fought for bit of points, it just becomes meaningless. Like, not because the defense could be playing better, but like every time I look at it, I can't help but think that it's an offensive problem of just not scoring enough points from the opportunities that we're creating for ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we have the players on the offense to make plays, and it just, you don't manage to get, when they need them, it just doesn't seem to come off, does it?
Yeah, it's like, I think it's odd because, you know, this is kind of the thing with the talented individuals, right? Because you get these like individual plays that are all really, really impressive. Like, we'll talk about that DeAndre Hopkins catch with the one hand that like absolutely shouldn't have been a catch, right? You know, that's an incredible play. But stringing together kind of, I guess, regular plays into a drive, it becomes a problem all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, obviously DeAndre Hopkins had another catch on this next drive for the Cardinals, picking up 29 yards, just doing what DeAndre Hopkins does, basically.
Yeah, again, just, you know, being the kind of guy who's out there and making huge contributions to the team. Like, I'd hate to think where this team now would be without him this season.
I mean, do we want to think about that? I mean, it was bad enough having him not for 6 games, but for the whole season. Yikes.
Yeah, you know, having him, obviously not for 6 games, but at least we had Hollywood Brown for most of those as well.
Did you see who made his first like play as a Cardinal on this drive?
Would it be one Mr. Robbie Anderson, or was that earlier on?
That was much earlier, and we completely glossed over that incident. So, I suppose, yeah, it wasn't him. It was Corey Clement, the running back.
Yeah. And didn't even do any running. He just caught one, right?
Yeah, but from that one snap he played, did you see what his grade was on Pro Football Focus?
No, I didn't. But it was one reception for 8 yards. So go on, what did they give him?
He got like 87, I think.
That's pretty good, you know.
That's like elite. 87 is almost.
Small sample size and all that, innit?
From literally one play.
Yeah.
But the thing is, so did Andre Bocellia. Like his...
He got one reception for 7 yards or whatever.
Yeah, and that's got him like an 80-something grade. So
That's the problem with small sample sizes, though, isn't it? You only get, you know, it's one target, but one catch, so...
And James Connery was our player of the game, only managed to get... I think it was like 60 something, maybe 50 or 60.
Yeah, despite 25 carries and 3 receptions.
And the touchdown, which made it 24-17 Cardinals in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, which, by the way, like, you know, into the fourth quarter, 24-17, like, that's a game which feels wrapped up, right? It's like, you know, again, it's like, it's a one-score game to tie it, but it feels like it's on the way to being wrapped up, especially with how the defense have been playing.
I mean, in theory, you know, I mean, this one score lead is never safe. I mean, no score lead safe if you like the Baltimore Ravens this season.
Oh my God, no, yeah.
That's insane. I saw like a meme on Twitter earlier today. And like, there was 4 games where they looked comfortably winning on all 4 of them. And he ended up losing all 4. Like,
talk
mental.
About finding a way to lose, right?
He must be learning from the Cliff Kings who play Brock, who shoot themselves in the foot.
I think he's been travelling up to the Northeast, you know, and whenever the Cardinals aren't playing.
Him and John Harbaugh have got like on speed dial, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's how you'll mess up this time.
That's who the headsets are connected to. It's not. He's not actually talking to Kyler. He's talking to Harbaugh.
Well, I mean, obviously one's a petulant child, so why would he want to talk to him? And I'm not talking about Jim Harbaugh.
as much as the joking is fun, you know, that one score lead was not, unfortunately, a safe lead at all, because despite the fact that there was, what, less than 2 minutes left on the clock and the Chargers only had one timeout, they got the ball and were just able to keep the sticks moving the whole way down. Great clock management from them. You know, just got it down and got the job done.
I mean, we do seem to be skipping another big incident in this game.
Which one's that?
The Zaven Collins interception. It's not an interception.
The second not an interception, right?
Yeah, the second turnover turned over by official review. Which, again, I mean, I've seen all the angles and it's like, I don't know. I don't see it, but then again, I'm a homer, aren't I?
Yeah.
I definitely think he caught the ball, no problem whatsoever. But, you know, the referee saw different.
Yeah. Once again, it's just, you know, it's ridiculous that we have this system where it's so difficult to tell, you know, that you need multiple slow motion angles to tell for sure whether or not something is a catch or not. But, yeah.
Just completely ruins the game and, you know, like you say, Chargers end up walking down the field, scoring the tying, not the tying touchdown, they score another touchdown and elect to go for 2 with like 13 seconds left in the game.
Which they just, you know, are able to convert. And in absolute classic Arizona style, they're able to convert it to a tight end.
Yeah, I mean, people will blame Isaiah Simmons for that, but, you know. He was another guy who had a really good game for the Cardinals. Like, I think he was our leading tackler. You know, he just seemed to be there and just everywhere, basically.
No, he had a great game. You know, QB hit, put tackles for loss, a whole bunch of tackles. But, yeah, just, you know, that's the thing. Again, like, you know, as much as you could blame Isaiah Simmons for that moment, it was stupid that we were in that position in the first place. It was a thrown away game. And, you know, you could argue like 2 really, really particularly bad referee calls. You could argue a couple like missed opportunities, Matt Prater's missed field goal, all of that stuff. But ultimately, you know, we just weren't there for it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins made his highlight catch as well in the fourth quarter, but everyone's quickly forgotten about that because, you know, it's another Cardinals loss, 25-24, and they're 4-8 for the season.
Yeah.
So basically, where did he go from here now? Besides the bye week, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been great to go into the bye week with a win, but I'm almost kind of, in some ways, I'm almost glad that they're going into the bye week with a loss because it just highlights how bad the season has been up to this point and, you know, how they keep finding ways to lose as well. So hopefully they're going to try something different. You know, that's what I hope for the rest of the season is just I want to see something different, some change, not necessarily in personnel, but in philosophy or something.
Yeah, I mean, obviously everyone's like holding out hope for the fact that, you know, they're going to wake up one morning and the breaking news is going to be Cliff Kingsbury removed as head coach of the Cardinals.
Once again, like there's really no point in doing that right now. Unless they were dead set on Sean Payton and they still needed to win him away from the Chargers or something like that. But, you know, a good way to do that would have been to beat the Chargers this week.
Or rather, the fact that the Chargers win means they're less likely to sack their head coach.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
I mean, not that I'm talking about changing the head coach because I don't think I'm saying it won't happen. Not saying it won't happen, but I don't know if I'm hoping it doesn't happen now because, just the way this season's gone, it's I'm actually starting to resign myself to the fact he may actually get rid of him.
Yeah, I think that they're, you know, I think at this point it's maybe not exactly the most likely thing to happen, but I could see it happening. Like, at the start of this season, there's no way I could see it, especially with the extension signed and all of that stuff. But now it's just a different situation that they're in.
Yeah, it just feels like it's more likely it will happen than it won't happen.
Yeah.
Only very slightly, but still it's edging further away from each other, if you know what I mean.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's a great way to put it. It's just in the past couple of weeks edged into the it's a likelihood at this point. You know,
it's a 52-48, something like that.
Yeah, and at the end of the day it's like, you know, it might not all be Cliff's fault, but I think that's ultimately the buck stops with him. You know, whether it's all his fault or not, that's the responsibility of a head coach, right, is to fix things whether or not they're your fault.
Someone has to be the fall guy, and it might be Cliff Kingsbury who is the fall guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I still have the same reservations I did when we were talking about it weeks and weeks ago, where it's like, who do you replace him with? What is your plan there? Because I don't necessarily see anyone out there who I think could do a better job right now. But equally, you know, I think clearly something's not working. So, and when you get rid of a head coach, you at least get a chance to do something completely different.
I mean, everyone seems to be going into overdrive with a certain Sean Payton to Arizona. I've seen things mocked up already. They've probably been there for weeks, haven't they? Maybe months.
Yeah.
I mean, all the articles are coming out now, you know, Michael, I'm literally just looking at Twitter right now and it says here, Michael Bidwell can mend tattered reputation with pursuit of Sean Payton.
I mean, to be fair, Sean Payton, he is a successful head coach, right? He's done a great job and everything like that. I mean, we could talk about Bountygate if it becomes more apparent that he actually might be the guy for the job. But, you know, broadly, his success at the Saints is definitely something that would be interesting to see him come over and try to replicate here. But also, I think people just love connecting a name that they know with the game, whereas actually when you think about where do all of the next big head coaches come from, they never come from having been a head coach somewhere else before. They come from somebody's secondary coaching staff. They come from somebody finally getting a break and a chance to run a team.
Yeah, basically an offensive coordinator from a really successful team, or possibly even a defensive coordinator. I mean, all the talk at the moment seems to be what's his name? D'Amico Ryans at the 49ers. He's potentially going to be the next head coach at somewhere Houston.
Yeah. I mean, that's the sort of thing that I think would be more likely to be like a future thing, I guess, because especially someone like Sean Payton, I mean, he's been around donkeys, right? And I think the last thing we want is for another head coach who looks like they might retire soon. You know, like, this team needs somebody who's in it for the long haul. And that's one of the things that Cliff Kingsbury was supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like you say, he is getting on a bit of Sean Payton. And like, I think he's got like over 200 plus NFL games as like a head coach already. So
yeah,
definitely got the experience factor there. But, you know, look how it ended in New Orleans. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing that makes me worry about Sean Payton is like, he did really, really well when he had, you know, this one franchise quarterback who was just like very kind of naturally gifted, very settled, playing a very old school style of football. Whereas now, you know, like, we've got a franchise quarterback, but he is far from settled. He doesn't have a huge, you know, pool of talent all around him. He's got talented guys here and there, but not, you know, like the full team isn't clicking yet. And the question is Sean Payton up and ready to build a modern team around Kyler Murray, or is he used to managing, you know, Drew Brees and the old guard?
I mean, Drew Brees wasn't exactly a tall quarterback, was he? And look at the success he had with him. That's probably where people are like projecting things onto like Kyler Murray, like the next Drew Brees or something like that.
Yeah,
but with legs.
Yeah. You know, in a way, I would almost be interested in seeing somebody come over from Seattle, having worked with Russell Wilson from when he was actually good.
I mean, you know, we talk about how things happen to break when we're recording.
Yeah.
We've actually got some news here which affects the rest of our season.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah. According to Cliff Kingsbury, DJ Humphries is done for the season with his back injury.
No.
I mean, to be fair, Josh Jones has actually been playing pretty well at left tackle, so.
He has, but DJ Humphries is such a talisman as well, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, is it? You know, losing a guy like that.
No.
But they're also saying that after the bye, we may get Rodney Hudson back, but also Pigs McFly, so.
Yeah. Also, you know, if I was someone like Rodney Hudson, I'd be looking at it, be going like, all right, I'm getting on here. Do I really, really want to, you know, to go out and potentially injure myself even more for a season that's already done?
I mean, we're paying him enough money, so the lazy bastard best get out there if he's healthy enough.
Very true.
Just to save us from Billy Price, for fuck's sake.
What I'm saying is, I don't think anybody's going to rush out for this this season that we're having just now.
Oh, no, but I mean, Marquise Brown came back, but I suppose he does need to get paid at the end of the season, so any sort of game film he puts on the... Yeah, it's going to help put money in his back pocket, isn't it, when it comes to contract negotiations?
Yeah, it is. Anybody who's got... who's not under contract for next year anyway.
Which is pretty much the whole team, I think.
Yeah. I don't even want to think about how this offseason's going to look for us.
I mean, we say that, but like, we've got like 25 players under contract for next season with like $30 million in cap space.
Okay.
How that works, I don't know, because, you know, that's just an insane amount of money on such a small amount of players.
It really is. I don't even understand the cap system that well, to be honest. And, you know, just looking at the sheer amount of money that flies around for these things is wild to me.
Yeah. I mean, I just let like other websites do it for me and, you know, just go off them. You seem to be accurate enough. Someone else could be the brains. I'll just be the whatever.
Either way, though, I mean, losing DJ Humphries, like, it's a blow. But is it going to be a blow that changes the Cardinals' fates this season? I don't think so, because the fates are sort of already sealed, really.
Yeah, I mean, it seems that way, doesn't it? Like, Cardinals haven't really got anything to play for now except pride, but what the fuck, who cares about pride?
I mean, it would be good, I think, for some players to, you know, help them want to stay there, I guess. But, like, they would have to have been blinded all season as to how the rest of the season's been going.
Yeah. I mean, at least there is the fact we've only got how many games left after the bye week.
Yeah, it's not many.
Let me just get that up.
I guess we could also hope that we don't have to play the Rams, or rather that we can beat out the Rams to the bottom of the table, you know?
I mean, we've got the Patriots at home on the 13th of December. That's a 1 o'clock kickoff. So is that another Monday Night Football, I think?
I think it might be. It's another primetime one anyway.
I mean, I'm sure the NFL will be doing all they can to try and flex that one out of primetime. Like, who the fuck wants to watch them?
Yeah. We've got the Broncos. That'll be fun, meeting Russell Wilson again in his new uniform.
Even though he's completely shit this year, like, literally, like...
Yeah,
scored, I mean, how many touchdowns?
His own team's, like, swearing at him and stuff like that on the field. It's pretty wild. Then in further ancient quarterback news, we're playing the Buccaneers on the 26th.
Another primetime game, sort of, because it's playing on Christmas Day.
Yeah, late slot on Christmas Day. Then the Falcons, the 49ers, and then we are out of there. That is it.
I mean, you can actually see them maybe beating the Broncos, even though the Broncos' defense is really good. The offense is completely not good.
Yeah, yeah. I think if we're looking at that, I'd say, like, if we could hopefully squeeze out a win against the Broncos. Like, if you'd asked me in the, you know, earlier in the season or in the preseason, I'd say we could probably beat the Patriots as well, and maybe the Falcons. But I mean, I've just got no confidence left for this season at all.
I mean, you could write off the Niners because they'll just completely decimate us because absolutely. They can do what they want,
and they're on a hot streak just now as well. So,
I mean, it may still cool off by the time week 18 comes around, and we're into like year 2023, just to make everyone feel even more sad.
Yeah, we got some. Actually, the Falcons game will be into 2023 as well, because that's on New Year's Day. But
and it's also a 6 o'clock kickoff for us, so which is odd enough anyway.
Yeah, that's always going to be tricky. But
and I mean, with the way they run the ball and the way our run defense is almost non-existent, yeah, that may be an awful game to watch as well.
Yeah, I think.
And yeah, we'll still be watching.
We'll still be watching all the way through to the 8th of January, and then we can all take a breath and watch for Black Monday.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if the team goes like, 0-5 in these final five games, and we finish 4-13, good match there for me.
Yeah. If they go 0-5 in the next in the home straight there, then I think Cliff is 100% firing away. If they win one or two of them, I think he's got a chance of keeping the job. And if they win more than that, he'll definitely be staying.
Yeah, it's just like, can't really predict what the Cardinals are going to do, can you? Because like, what are they going to do? Say like they win three of them games, and they're 7-10.
Yeah.
It
would still
that
be
gets you nowhere. Like, you pick him, for like 13th, 14th in the draft.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like you win three of the last five games. It's a huge turnaround on the season, but ultimately it's still a really bad season. And then it just puts you in no man's land for the draft as well.
And then obviously you have Steve Kime, who can't draft a shit.
Yeah.
But it's what are you going to do there?
That's a whole different kettle of fish as well there.
I mean, this is probably the most anti-Cliff, anti-Cam I've ever felt, but it's just something's not working.
Yeah, again,
something needs to happen.
Yeah, so there needs to be some sort of change, and we've seen enough, you know, shifting of personnel on the field. I guess over that time, we've seen, you know, a couple of big superstars being brought in. We've seen, you know, a couple of people leave and change around and things like that, but we've not seen any back office changes.
No, they'll come in the off season when if there is any sort of changes to be made. But
absolutely,
I suppose we do have, you know, we still have got this bye week. You know, then we've got just to stew it over basically, and then we've got five more weeks to suffer through.
Yeah, but on the plus side, as I said up top, the Cardinals cannot lose next week. Unless, so you know, somebody somehow gets injured or arrested or something like that, which you never know.
I mean, there is one thing that we'll still be losing next week will be in fantasy football, possibly.
Well, I've still got a chance to win this week. I just need to eke out, 14 points between some defensive players in Monday Night Football.
I mean, it's doable. Just depends which defensive players you're talking about.
Well, I've got Zari Franklin, who's like number two overall linebacker, and I've got Alex Highsmith as
well.
Don't
even know who's actually in Monday Night Football game.
Steelers versus the Colts.
Okay, so linebackers may be tackling a lot. You know, obviously Najee Harris versus Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah,
so
it could happen.
Possible.
Between my three defensive players, they're predicted for like 18, 19 points, somewhere around there. So it could happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's doable.
That's for my dynasty team and my British Bird Gang team. I have all but abandoned now. But they lost 103 to 118 in regular time.
Yeah, my dynasty season continues to just basically do nothing. I mean, I was playing against the number one team this week, and I am currently down by 32 points or so. And yes, I do still have Deontay Johnson to play, so if he has like a game of his life, then possibly.
I mean, you never know, right? It's.
I mean, he is playing against the number one defense versus wide receivers, so literally impossible to score.
Yeah.
I'd be lucky if he scores 2 points there, let alone 32 points.
You know, stranger things have happened, though.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather not win because then that may bugger off my draft position.
Yeah.
Even though I've just done a trade this past week to get even more picks and throw away some of my team. But I mean, I'm happy getting Rashad White back because I wanted him in the draft, but now I've got him forever. So that'll do to build around, I suppose.
Yeah, fair enough.
And Bird Gang Bowl, it looks like I'm going to win that one.
Nice.
Yep. I'm up 130 to 115. I've got Michael Pittman and Najee Harris to play. My opponent has got one person left to play, and that is George Pickens from Pittsburgh. So hopefully 15 points and two players is enough to get that win and put me to 8-4, which let's see what that may do.
Your league was funny like that, right? It was like everyone was quite close together.
Yeah, I think I'll still be on the outside looking in on the playoffs. I'll be like fourth still. But literally my division's got two teams who are 9-2, 8-3, and they're both going to win this week. So,
yeah.
I'm going to get screwed out.
It's tough when it's divisions, isn't it?
But I don't think I can change it now. And possibly it'd be wrong to change it now. But I want to make the playoffs. Let me make the playoffs. I've still got a couple of weeks to do it. So.
Yeah, you know, all it takes is someone having an off week and forgetting to set their lineup or something.
Yeah. What about the Pick'ems this week? How did you fare?
I had a pretty good week. I've got 11 points so far, and I've got the Colts for Monday Night Football, so potentially 12.
See, I've got 9 so far because, you know, we had those weird results where the Panthers won. The Browns won. The Jaguars won.
Yep.
The Bengals. I mean,
Bengals. Yep, Bengals won.
The Raiders beat the Seahawks because everyone saw that coming. And then also the Chargers beat the Cardinals, which nobody predicted. I mean, did you see the... I don't know if you saw this or not, but when I was doing my picks, the Texans-Dolphins game, did you see what the percentages were?
I didn't know. What was it?
Apparently it was 100% Dolphins.
I do you know what? I'm not surprised. I wonder if it maybe clicked over at a certain point, you know, with just a few Texans fans kind of going like, we believe, but, you know, they're having a much worse season than us, so.
I mean, it's Houston, isn't it? Like, we've taken all their best players. What more do they want? Have they got anyone else we can pillage while they're at it?
I don't think we should take anyone else, to be honest. We're pushing our luck.
I mean, I have gone for the Steelers to beat the Colts tonight, so.
Oh, picking against the consensus.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care if it's wrong because we have 202 points. What more? Yeah.
So I'm at 98, potentially 99, so. I caught up with you a bit this week, but.
We'll probably change again next week, won't it? Because that's what happens.
We're starting to run out of weeks.
Although it does carry on into the playoffs, I think. So we still have those as well. So
yeah, unlike the Cardinals, it will carry on into the playoffs.
That was a bit of a low blow.
But yeah, as you said, you know, next week we have the bye, so no game preview this week.
Thank God we've talked about for an hour with complete bollocks anyway. So what do we need, even another 10, 20 minutes more?
Nah, we don't need anything there. But we will be back next week to talk about, you know, how the season's gone so far. Usually we have a bye week somewhere in the middle of the season. This time it's, you know, much more towards the end, but we can still talk about how the season's gone and go through some of our predictions, see how on track we are, or more likely not on track we are.
Yeah, I mean, it's more like 66% of the way through the season, isn't it? 70-ish percent, something like that.
Over two-thirds, yeah.
But yeah, we're not here to work out the mathematics. We're just here to talk football, thankfully. I've not done maths in years.
But yeah, I guess that'll do us for this week's episode, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked too much about nothing. So, yeah, if you're not following us on Twitter, go follow us at British Beard Gang. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/British Beard Gang. Join the group at facebook.com/groups/British Beard Gang. Buy British Beard Gang merch at britishbeardgang.tmall.com. And of course, if you like what you listen to on the podcast, then leave us a review wherever it is you get your podcast from. And, you know, I had a few messages recently, well, tweets back saying, you know, people actually listen to the podcast till the end. Oh, nice. So
there you go.
You know, if you do listen to the podcast, you know, then just let us know, because, you know, we'll still do it anyway if no one listened, because it is what it is. But, you know, it's just nice to know.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, thanks for sharing in the misery with us. So we'll see you again next week for hopefully something a bit less miserable, but probably not, because it's the Cardinals.
Once again, at least we won't have lost. So there you go. That's less miserable.
Yeah. Until then, thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye.